Hello. Do you blame it, Sony, for the Matrix code names? Man, I wish I knew. That has to come out of Japan or something, right? Like, that, those would be the people that would think that... Like, Sony Japan would still think the Matrix is rad? I think that stuff all sounds weird. I'd really like to know how they intend to explain it whenever they do finally start commenting on this thing they're doing. Yeah, you know, it's like they're... It seems like they'll have to make hard decisions about how far they let people go with that thing in terms of, like, hey, can we take advantage of this power to the detriment of the old system? And right now, everything they indicate seems to say... No, that this will have to maintain full compatibility and online compatibility for online games and all that other stuff. So things like larger player counts and online games, you can't do that with your upgraded PS4. You can't have them off into another land. But like the one thing they did say is like, oh, if as long as the mode, like for offline modes or something like that, like you could make, you could have differences. The example they gave was like player counts in an offline mode, like a local multiplayer kind of setting. Like you could have a higher player count that only works if you have an upgraded unit. And yeah, I don't know, yeah. A lot of, like, the rendering details in terms of just, like, rendering it less than 4K and scaling up from there, you know, like, it doesn't seem like, and, you know, this is one of those things that I think Digital Foundry had in their story a while back, is like, hey, there's just no way they're going to get native 4K video games of any, like, import running on a console that sells for $400. So I assume for people with 4K sets, they'll scale up. You know, not from 1080, some for some intermediate resolution in some cases, or whatever, or... It's just a way to keep selling a PS4 for $400. Yeah, that's... It's the new Nintendo 3DS of consoles, I guess? Maybe? I don't know. Like, I've spent a lot of time reading stuff over today for that stuff. And, like, on one hand, I get it. And but it, I don't know. I think it comes down to perspective. Like, you could, if you look at this as, like, well, you know, they're not leaving existing owners in the dust. Like, that's a very good thing because they've sold a lot of those consoles and those people would feel super effed over if things went the other way. But on the other hand, then it becomes like, well, what are you buying? And maybe it's the sort of thing where they open up the abilities like, hey, now we have you could buy the base level, you know, the last year's model for $200. And the current model is $400, you know, or whatever. Maybe that is good because it gives them an entry-level model that they can kind of knock the price down on as time goes on. Too, you know, gives them kind of multiple price points, and maybe that's good at this point in their cycle. And also, I think the other thing to keep in mind is for, like, they're spending a lot of time talking about, like, parity between the two devices in terms of what they do and don't do, and what they'll allow and what they won't allow. And I think the important thing to remember is that those allowances are in effect, like, as of this holiday season when those games start to ship. But that doesn't mean it'll always be that way. If the new PlayStation 4 comes out and sells like gangbusters and, you know, eventually overturns in such a way that it is the dominant version of the console in homes and stuff like that, somewhere down the line, a year or two in, maybe they start to relax those requirements. So they're like, well, you know, hey, existing PS4s are now long in the tooth. We're going to kind of let you segregate a little more than we were willing to out of the gate. I wonder if PSVR will be a big push. I don't know. That would be my guess. My guess is still that this has the breakout box built in. That's my guess. I don't know one way or the other on that. The stuff that we have seen did not get specific about VR. But I would assume that if they can do it, you know, like, if they want to make VR-ready consoles and not have to have that breakout box around forever, that is stuff they could build in. I don't know if the cost is, you know, because I think that is just, it's just a scaler, and there's some processing power, but not for games. It's for rendering, you know, for kind of pushing the image the right way to the two screens, I think, right? It's inconsequential in terms of, like, making games run better in that box. So if they can just cram that into the base level PS4, then you end up with that situation where, like, what was it? Like when you hooked up a Kinect to the original 360, you had to have external power. But if you had a 360 that had the port built in, it just plugged right in and then you were good to go. I imagine it would be, like, similar to that. But I don't know. That was not addressed in any of this stuff that we have seen. I suspect that those questions have been answered, but we do not have that detail. you guys think Microsoft's going to unveil some sort of VR headset at E3? No. No. I don't think Microsoft has a need to do that. You know, they're working on their HoloLens stuff, and that's a long-term thing for them that, I think will get better over time. Even if this first revision has a really narrow field of view and stuff like that, like, AR is really exciting. And they're kind of approaching that from at a higher level than just Xbox and games, so I think that is the company play for that type of headset stuff. And, you know, they've been talking about Oculus a lot, you know, in terms of, like, hey, we're including an Xbox One controller, we're doing this, like, we're partnering with these guys. Like, if anything, I think you would see, like, oh, well, you know, we're going to make the Oculus Rift work with the Xbox One. Or something like that. But that, even that, even that doesn't seem super likely, because the Xbox One doesn't seem like it would drive an Oculus particularly well. Creating more shit for devs. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. But if, you know, the architecture being similar to the PC, and if most of these third-party developers are already making PC versions of the game, then they'll likely have shaders and stuff that they're doing for those versions, and maybe some of those will carry over in some form. Like, I don't know exactly how much more work this creates. That kind of remains to be seen, I think. But I don't know that it's as dire as it might seem. Like, oh, now they got to make a whole other version. Who's going to do that? It's like, well, I don't think it's quite like that. Also, it really seems like the mandates from Sony as to how you address Neo mode are maybe not too rigid in terms of how you get there with the with a resolution bump or whatever. It seems like the only thing on their mandate list, at least that I saw, was that the upgraded version needs to run at or above the frame rate of the standard version. And that was kind of it. Strange time. That thing is that's a weird. It's a weird thing. But this does kind of seem like an alternate approach to the whole Xbox Elite, the Xbox 360 Elite, or the Xbox S, you know, or the kind of like, hey, we're doing the die shrink thing and making these cheaper, but instead of just making them cheaper, they're going to make it not cheaper, but just make it better. For presumably the same price. I mean, I don't even necessarily know that for sure. So it's like, rather than just make the same console for a cheaper price and use that to make your revamped model and that sort of stuff, they're using that process to, you know, raise the quality of the console, which, okay, I guess I can I guess I could see that. I guess I could see that work. I don't know. It's crazy. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but it's... it's a strange thing. How many people bought multiple consoles last time around? I guess last time around would be abnormal because a lot of people had to buy multiple Xbox 360s because they all broke. But I wonder if that maybe informed part of this process of like, hey, you know, like a lot of people turns out are willing to buy multiple versions of the same console. Also, for as much as we're selling now, there's a whole untapped market. There's still way more people that haven't made the move that might want to get on board. So there's plenty of room to grow the install base. So why not sell something worth buying? Which is, time goes on and PC parts get cheaper and all this other stuff. Like the case for consoles does become purely one of convenience. But yeah, I guess that's the other end of that argument, is if you really care about a power bump out of your games, at some point, doesn't it just make sense to build a PC? I mean, it is more expensive, but I think even that expense is kind of upfront, because games can be had for a lot cheaper on the PC. Steam sales and bundles and all this other stuff, like, you know, there are ways. And the PC is not that hard to work with anymore. Used to be real hard. Replacing a video card in a PC is, like, surprisingly easy. It's just scary. It's one of those things where it's like, if you've never done it before, it seems, like, heinous. You're like, oh, I'm gonna break everything. I don't know what I'm doing. This is all, I'm gonna break this whole thing. We're fucked. That's how I feel about CPUs and thermal paste, because that's something I don't think I've ever actually done. Is apply thermal paste to a CPU and do that part of it. And everyone's like, oh, it's totally easy. But because I've never done it before, I'm like, oh, geez, I don't... Much like I'm terrible at soldering, because I haven't really done a lot of it, and my limited experience in it has not been great, so... But yeah, I don't, you know, so I get it. Like, on some level, like, people are afraid of... the PC, of building a PC, of maintaining a PC, of all that other stuff. So, and if you're not familiar with it, yeah, it's... sometimes it can be more trouble than it's worth. Also, like... if you look at a lot of the games on the PS4, if you just, I mean, you know... obviously, there are a lot of big-budget console games that come to consoles. That's what they're there for, consoles being consoles. But there are a lot of games coming out on the PlayStation 4 and on the Xbox One that are nowhere close to taxing those devices, like, visually. You know, there are a lot of smaller indie games and stuff like that that, you know, are impressive in different ways. Or, you know, they get by on art. It's not all about, like, technical prowess, pushing the limits of the hardware and getting out of the metal and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, there are a lot of games. This generation, probably more than last and more than most, that, you know, don't really push the hardware. And those are cases where, I mean, you probably won't really see any real improvement with those types of games on an upgraded PS4, because you look at those on the PC and you're like, oh yeah, this is exactly the same. What about game prices? Will the Neo be different? No, it's all just the same thing. You're downloading games, you're buying games, you're transferring games between one unit and the other. It's all kind of the same deal. You're not going out and buying, like, the Neo version of a game. You're just buying the game, and it does something different when you put it into an upgraded PS4. But still works on a regular PS4. So it seems like a new Nintendo 3DS kind of situation, except for a platform holder mandate that all games support the upgraded hardware in some way. Trying to compare this sort of stuff to the way phones work, and that's certainly a way of looking at it, and if people look at it that way and feel okay about it, like, I guess I can't fault that, but it just doesn't, I don't know, like, but I guess, like, I don't know. I was going to say, like, you know, phones are often a more integral part of a person's life these days because of the different things you can do with one and all that other stuff. But at the same time, I would also say that that's kind of topped out and kind of who cares about phone upgrades anymore. As long as you're, like, reasonably current enough to where, like, apps are coming out. But how many apps do you want? How many more apps do you need? Are we done with apps? I mean, obviously, there'll be new games, there'll be new things, but at some point, it's just like, well, I want to look at the Facebook. I need to see Twitter. Can I get on with this? Like, you know, it's like, they all do that. Who cares? That's why it's so super dumb that there are people that kind of maintain this whole, like, Apple versus Android thing. I know we have talked about before, but it's just like, fuck, man. Both phones do the same 9 things that people want to do with a phone. Though Peach might not be on Android, I don't know. If Peach isn't on Android, then that's... if any of their plans for this stuff changed after GDC, once stuff started kind of getting out. Something that went from, like, next year to suddenly, like, this year or something like that. Because as the news of a new unit starts to spread, it eventually impacts their ability to sell the old one. So I wonder if it just became a situation of, like, well, now we definitely have to announce this thing at E3 and move forward on this timetable because our projections indicate that if we don't, it will start to hurt us. Yeah, I wonder. Maybe this has been the plan all along. I guess I don't know one way or the other. I think if you look at, you start now thinking about, like, games that will come out between now and the fall, or last year and the fall, and start to think about which games will be popular enough or show PC enough to warrant a patch to support the new hardware. I would fully expect Uncharted to be in that camp. But yeah, that'll be a developer option, right? If they want to support it, they can patch. They don't have to. Unless they're shipping in, like, the September, October time frame, or later, then they have to. Horizon, maybe. Is Horizon out before the fall? Because I would figure that Horizon would be out. I actually don't know when Horizon is out, now that I think about it. That seems to be the word, is, you know, if you are putting out a game in September or on, your game will support the new hardware. Either via launch day patch or directly on the disc already. But Uncharted is out in, like, May, so it becomes like, okay, what games will be popular enough to, like, to get that support? Or again, like, you know, what game would be enough of a showpiece that you could do that with? I think Uncharted is probably in that camp. And it's got multiplayer, so theoretically people would be playing it for some time after its release. You know, like, do they do it for, like, does Treyarch do it for Black Ops just to get used to doing it? Or do they not, because it'll be 2 months away from, like, the next Call of Duty game coming out? Those sorts of decisions is what I mean, you know. Oh, yeah, like an ongoing, like, live game like Destiny, that would make sense, even though they wouldn't technically be putting out a new game until next year. No, wait, no, that's right, they moved it out of fall, right? Is that the talk? Is that Destiny 2 got bumped out of 26? I've lost track of what's going on with Destiny. But maybe you do that work. Maybe you do your Neo patch this year to get it out of the way, assuming the next game would have a similar look to it. But who knows? I would assume a game like The Division would get that bump. Like, you know, like an online game that people are expected to continue to play for a good long time. That sort of thing. I would figure that they would take the time to do that work. As a show of continued support of the game. Though, with Division having, all the Division DLC comes to Xbox first, so maybe with that marketing deal in mind, they're less interested in PS4, but I bet they're still interested in PS4. You know, it's like, what does all this mean long term? That's the maybe the other interesting part. Well, I don't know. I think there are a lot of parts of this that you can dissect and look at and go like, man, this is a weird business and it's only getting weirder. If this becomes a path and this becomes the standard for this console or perhaps all consoles, then at what point does the PlayStation 4 technically become the last console that Sony makes? Because they're just kind of upgrading that thing over and over again. Though I guess, you know, if the more dramatic changes they make, the more compatibility becomes something they have to think about. Like, if you look at those specs, it's pretty much the same, just at higher clock speeds, you know? More bandwidth. probably can't just do that forever. So maybe at some point, if they do make a larger change, then that's technically a new console. But do they even call it that? Do they put in the work to ensure compatibility in a way that, like, makes the PlayStation a rolling platform? And then, you know, then the Xbox becomes a rolling platform that's less about, you know, like the iPad is to an extent. Like, eventually the games go bad. Eventually the hardware gets too old and the new games aren't going to run on the old one at all. But, you know, maybe that's 5-6 years down the road at any given time. A lot of ins and outs, a lot of things that you could, you know, look down the road at from this, if they do it. I mean, you know, if you look at the way they're doing it, I guess, which is what makes it different from the new Nintendo 3DS, which was, you know, similar kind of half-step sort of sitch, but, like, how many games actually supported that thing or benefit from it? Not many, right? Yeah, I mean, there doesn't seem to be a good reason to get off of x86, especially when they all finally just got there. Developers seem to like it. Would GTA 5 get that bump? Would they do a Neo patch for... Would they add Neopets to GTA 5 because online is still such a thing and making so much money? Could they do it without the Benz? Or do they need the Benz? Fallout would be, like I think Austin pointed out in what he wrote, Fallout seems like a good candidate for, you know, some fixing up if you got the power to spare. U-Haul truck, fuck it. The lane guidelines are just a rough estimate. If you want to drive in both lanes, I mean, this is still America last time I fucking checked. Fuck. All that stuff going on. You know, we were trying to record the podcast, trying to get that stuff in and all that, so asking for comment, emails, phone calls, all that sort of stuff. If they would just let people rename their fucking PlayStation Network account, then they'd have something. I'd buy a new console if it meant I got to rename my account. Thank you. I wonder what they end up calling it for real, though. If it just becomes the new PlayStation 4. Maybe they do end up just going with PS4K. I mean, that... that makes marketing sense. With the message they're trying to... send about 4K, you know, like, or that's a potential, I don't know what message they'll try to send, right? I mean, PS4K makes sense. PS 4.5 just sounds too snide. It sounds like something that someone would say derisively about the console. I don't think they would ever go with that. Maybe it's called the Neo PS4. Like the new Nintendo 3DS. Yes, PS Fork really rolls off the tongue. Maybe they signal the start of a bold new future and just call it, you know, like drop the 4. Just say it's the PlayStation. Yeah, PS5. God, that'd be good. They're just like, we'd like to introduce you to the new PlayStation 5. Oh, God. All right. I'm home. That's cool. And everybody have a good night. See ya.